Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Let's think through how Jesus fulfilled the law. You say, okay, this is all great. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, he fulfilled the law. I don't understand. What does it mean to fulfill law? And we still haven't answered the question, why are some things binding and other things not binding, and which is which? Well, that's what we're going to delve into. And the key to understanding these passages that seem to say that the Old Testament was abolished in some sense is this. Jesus fulfilled the entire Old Testament, but he didn't fulfill all of it in the same way, because different parts of the Old Testament have different purposes. And so what we have to understand is that those purposes, we need to understand what each of those purposes are before we can understand how Jesus fulfilled each one of them. And then we can understand what the implications are for our lives. It's only when we understand that that we'll understand what's binding and what's not binding. Jesus made it very clear that not all of the parts of the law are the same. He differentiated. There were some traditions at the time of Jesus that said there are weightier matters of the law and lesser matters of the law. There's the bigger, more important things and less important things. And Jesus confirmed that. When they came and asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the whole Old Testament? Jesus didn't rebuke them and say, you got it all wrong. Nothing in the Bible is greater or lesser. It's all exactly the same. He didn't say that. He went ahead and told them which is the greatest command. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. So there is a greatest command. There are commands that are greater, there are commands that are lesser, and there are some commands that are considered weightier, heavier, more important, and others that are less. Jesus confirmed that in Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. That's the tithing law. But you've neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So, things like loving God and justice and mercy and faithfulness are the heavier, weightier, more important matters of the law. Sometimes those are referred to as the moral law. And then there's the less important matters. What are the lighter, less important matters of the law? Well, one of them that Jesus refers to here is tithing. And Paul mentions a few of them in Colossians 2. Colossians 2:16. He says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. That's the kosher laws. Or with regard to a religious festival, new moon celebration, Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that are to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So, any part of the law that functioned as a shadow, an illustration, a picture, is in a different category than the weightier matters of the law that speak directly to the morals of the heart, the character of the heart. You see that? Dietary laws and festivals and Sabbaths, all those things were commanded in God's law, but they were commanded as shadows and pictures and illustrations, and they served as to illustrate something else that was to come, some great reality that was to come. They were pointing to that. And if you want to break down the shadow type laws, you say, okay, you got the weightier laws and the shadow laws, these two categories. Let's take the shadow laws. We'll break that in half, and there's two different kinds of those. There's the ceremonial ones and the civil ones. The ceremonial laws have to do with the regulations for worship in the temple, like the whole sacrificial system, all the rituals, all the symbols, all of it that's involved in that whole system of worship. That's the ceremonial aspect. And then the civil codes are things that have to do specifically with governing the nation of Israel, just running the nation. For example, how much to pay in taxes and what punishment to inflict for various different kinds of crimes and rules for contracts and business regulations and all that kind of law. That's civil stuff. All the civil codes in the Old Testament and all the ceremonial laws of the temple, all of that was the shadow stuff. The lighter shadow stuff. They were all pictures of something that was to come. They had a different purpose than the weighty laws. They had different purposes, and so Jesus fulfilled them in different ways. And that shouldn't come as any real surprise to anyone. We should understand that. It's common sense to assume that the laws that speak directly about moral character are going to be different than laws that are intended as illustrations or pictures. For example, God has commanded that we be kind to each other, right? And He has also commanded that we be very reverent in the way that we handle the Lord's table. Two commands. But one's a weightier matter, the other one is a picture. Suppose one of you is downstairs and you're preparing, we're getting ready to get started, and you're down there preparing the communion cups. And you're filling them all up, and you're getting the bread ready and everything, and then somebody staggers in off the street who's about to die. And he's a diabetic, and if he doesn't get some sugar in his system right now, he's going to die. And all you've got is what you're working with there. So you give him the grape juice, and you say, here, drink all this grape juice. Jesus' point was that it would be far better to do that than to break the kindness law, saying, well, we can't do anything with this holy grape juice, and let him die. You see that? Can you see how symbolic things are not as important as the things that speak directly to the heart? Now, please, don't misunderstand that. I'm not saying that the obedience to the symbolic things is unimportant. That is a moral issue. For example, if you just mock communion and you disobey the law, the intention of the picture, the spirit of the law, the purpose of it, and you really aren't reverent, then that's a moral issue. And same thing in the Old Testament. If they didn't follow the Sabbath, if they didn't do follow the kosher eating laws, that was a big, big deal. Because if they were doing so because they didn't have reverence for God. But if they did it because they're trying, David's running for his life and he's starving to death and he needs to eat some of the showbread or die, then it's okay. The point is, the illustration points to a reality, and it's that reality that's important, not the illustration itself. That's why Jesus could call the reality the weightier matters. Symbolic things are not as important as the condition of the heart. If you said to your son, look, I want you to be kind and respectful to your sisters, and to show that by, you know, holding doors for them and, you know, being kind. And the next thing you know, you walk in later and you see your daughter all curled up, shivering in a fetal position on the floor, or freezing to death, and your son's standing there with the door wide open laughing. Okay, you'd say that he's focused on the symbolism of the holding the door thing and has ignored the weightier matter of the law that you had in mind. Kindness to your sisters, right? That's the kind of thing Jesus is saying. And if you watch carefully, you will see, as you go through the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament making these distinctions. Sometimes people say, well, there's no, you know, this Bible, saying there's different kinds of law in the Old Testament, ceremonial, civil, and more. That's not in the Bible. That's fabricated. It's not fabricated. Jesus is the one who said that there are weightier matters, and there are shadows. And you can see that even in the way that the writers of the New Testament speak. For example, in Galatians 5:2. In Galatians 5, Paul said, if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. I read that a minute ago. So the circumcision rule, you don't make that binding today. Verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. So, in the Old Testament, God commanded the circumcision law. But now Paul comes along and says, we don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to do that anymore. That's no longer binding on us. Now look at verse 13 of Galatians 5. He says, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now what is he doing there? Paul commands us not to carry out the circumcision law. We're free from that. And then he turns right around in the same context and requires us to obey the love your neighbor law. You see how Paul's making a distinction between two different kinds of law? It's right there. Very clear that Paul thought that laws like circumcision were in a different category than laws like love your neighbor. Circumcision was a shadow type law, and love was one of the weightier matters of the law. And Paul treated the ceremonial aspects of the law differently than the moral aspect. And he also treated the civil aspect. You can see the same distinction between the civil stuff and the moral law. When it comes to civil laws, speed limit, business regulations, penal system, tax law, what does the New Testament teach us about our responsibility in those areas, in those civil areas? Here it is from Paul, Romans 13:1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, then pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So, which tax code are we bound to? Which tax code are we supposed to follow? The one spelled out in the Old Testament for ancient Israel, or the one spelled out in Washington for the United States of America? Well, according to Paul here, he places us under the civil codes, not of the Old Testament, but of the United States. Since we live here in the United States, or whatever secular government you live under. So the civil aspects of the Old Testament are not binding on us today. Now, you say, well, then in Romans 13, Paul's throwing out the law. Is he? Let's keep reading. Verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Paul's not just saying, well, I'm throwing out the Old Testament, but I'm recommanding the love your neighbor law. He's saying, it's love your neighbor because it's a fulfillment of the Old Testament law. He goes on, the commandments, do not commit adultery, and here now he's in the Ten Commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, and therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So he's making a distinction again between the civil law, not binding, moral laws, or the weightier matters, still binding.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.